Okay, terrific. Then we'll get going. And first of all, I wanted to say this is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Good morning. Thank you for joining this call. As the other voice you heard is that of Kathy Baskin, our assistant commissioner at MassDEP for water programs. I know she is joined by both people in the wastewater and water resources programs at headquarters, and we also have people from each regional office on the line, recognizing the importance of us all hearing the same information and making sure if questions arise from the conversation we're having today, that we're in a position to follow up expeditiously. A reminder that this call is being recorded, as is our practice. A copy of this recording will be put on the MassDEP website following today's call, as the others have been. It's in the same area of our website where our questions and answers are for water and wastewater operators. I will also note that Kathy Baskin, I think per her invitation, invites people that if you want to submit a question via email while this call is ongoing, you can do so by emailing her at kathleen.baskin@mass.gov, I believe. That information is on the invitation, and she can put it up in the chat window if folks need it. Finally, I wanted to note that we are fortunate, as we have been in past weeks, to be joined by Denny Dart from the United States Environmental Protection Agency. I know she usually has some updates that she provides, and then, you know, stays on the call with us to answer any questions that arise from the federal perspective. So Denny, welcome. And if you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself and giving us any updates you'd like.
Hi, Commissioner. Thank you so much. This is Denny Dart. I do have a couple of things I can offer. I can give an update on DMR QA Study 40. By this time, everyone should have received a packet. It might have come by email or paper mail. And you'll notice the DPA has extended the deadline to complete this year's study. It typically would be July. It's now September 18th. Hopefully that gives everyone enough time, given COVID-19. But if you can't meet that extended deadline, you can get in contact with your state coordinator or with the federal coordinator, and both of those names should be in your packet. For Massachusetts, it's Ping Yi. The other thing I wanted to mention is that the U.S. Department of Agriculture has funds available for wastewater and drinking water utilities that serve populations under 10,000 people. I realize that many of you are larger than that, but this rural water money is available not just to rural communities, but to urban communities as well, as long as they're small enough. So if you could spread the word, that would be great. USDA has both direct grants as well as a contract with these technical assistance providers who can come to the plant and help to troubleshoot issues. I have a fact sheet which I have sent to be included with the minutes. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Denny. Appreciate that update. We also have John Murphy from our licensing board. I know we have found it helpful to have John's weekly updates as well as his availability on the call for questions. So John, are there any updates you'd like to provide at this point?
Yep, thanks, Commissioner. We held a board call yesterday to process some applications that were in queue. Those have all been processed and will go out this week. We continue to hear from different organizations putting together online trainings that are being approved for training contact hours. So there'll be availability of online trainings. And the exam test sites are planned to be opening on May 18th. So I would recommend anyone who has staff that are looking to take the exam to go online now and schedule, as I assume the first week or so may be crowded with people who are have been waiting to take the exam. But that's it from the Wastewater Board of Certification.
Okay, thank you, John. A couple of updates before we go to the questions. First of all, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, saw 2 days ago governor and the lieutenant governor announcing the four-phase return to reopening of the economy. There's been a fair amount of media coverage, and there's material up on the mass.gov website about it. It does note that a lot more detail will be coming, as the sectors are designated. It also does include something that will probably resonate with a lot of you, because after all, water and wastewater operators have been deemed essential workers. And so these are things that you've already been thinking about and planning for and trying to operate under already, even during this first part of the crisis. But the Department of Public Health and the COVID Command Center developed new mandatory workplace safety standards, and they are on the website. These standards apply universally to all workplaces that are open in phase one and are designed to reduce the risk of COVID transmission to employees and people interacting with those employees during the first phase. But they're applicable to all sectors and industries. So they include things like social distancing, the requirement that employees, customers, vendors should remain at least 6 feet apart to the greatest extent possible, both inside and outside of workplaces, establishing protocols to ensure that employees can practice.
Hey, Lisa,
yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
All right, so remember Brian's doing the inspection for his the two cottages he's adding on the line?
Hi, Kathy, can you hear me again?
Yes, you can unmute yourself with *6. I've just muted everybody.
Right. Can you hear me now, Kathy?
I can.
Okay. So anyway, we were doing social distancing. We were talking about social distancing, the 6 foot apart requirement, protocols to ensure that employees can practice that distancing, signage to promote distancing, and requiring face coverings or masks for all employees. For hygiene protocols, again, it stresses frequent hand washing capabilities throughout the workplace, regular sanitization of high touch areas such as workstations, equipment, screens, doorknobs, restrooms throughout the work site. For staffing and operations, providing training for employees regarding social distancing and hygiene protocols, requiring employees who are displaying COVID-like symptoms to not report to work, and to establish a plan for employees getting ill from COVID at work, and a return to work plan. There's an element on cleaning and disinfecting, establishing cleaning protocols for specific to that part of your operation, planning for if an employee is diagnosed with COVID-19, what type of cleaning and disinfecting must be performed in that space, disinfection of all common surfaces taking place at regular and appropriate intervals. There's more to come on this, but again, this is one of the elements of the plan. And again, for those in the essential businesses such as yourselves, a lot of this stuff I'm sure is familiar, but there will be more coming from the reopening workforce. We did get one question. I'm aware that one of you indicated wanted to know how water and wastewater sector perspectives are being considered during, you know, on the reopening panel. You know, not seeing a specific name of a water or wastewater operator on that panel. We have elevated that comment. I will note that, you know, again, for many of you, you know, being deemed essential, a lot of this stuff is already things that you're thinking about, but we have asked those working with the reopening advisory board, you know, where are the specific opportunities for input for questions, and we will report back. There is also, I wanted to touch base. We've been talking a lot about cloth masks on both the drinking water and wastewater calls. As you know, EPA, Jane Downing from EPA had managed to work with FEMA and Homeland Security agency representatives to arrange for Massachusetts to deliver cloth masks for the exclusive use of water and wastewater operators. Initially, you know, the numbers have varied. The initial number of 30,000 masks being available, it is still possible that there's more. We know that as of this morning, I think about 31,000 masks have arrived now in Massachusetts. As you may recall, when we were last together, we were talking about a distribution plan that we at the state and local level had to put together. Mass DEP worked with, you know, Mass Waterworks Association, Mickey Nowak, and NOEA, and a number rural RCAP solutions, and a number of groups to both receive the masks at five locations around the state to facilitate distribution to all the different utilities around the state. I will say, the masks didn't arrive exactly in all the places we expected. Instead of arriving at all five, it arrived at three of them and in different numbers. So we are in the process right now of redistributing the masks, you know, to the five distribution points so that all, you know, the numbers, all five distribution points have the masks, and that I think that will be accomplished by tomorrow. And after that, you should be hearing from those regional distribution points about the arrangements to, you know, pick up the masks, receive the masks, so that I'm confident that by next week we'll have, if not all, most of the masks delivered. So the distribution is based on the surveys you filled out online. Thank you again for doing that. And we are attempting to fulfill those requests in, you know, based on what we heard on those surveys. I want to give special thanks to the regional distribution centers, because those utilities are taking on a lot of work by working on the logistics with you, and also tracking. As you know, the federal government really wanted to make sure the masks ended up in the places they should. And so there is a tracking requirement, and these regional distribution facilities will be not only making sure that the other utilities get the masks, but filling out the paperwork to demonstrate who got them and be able to demonstrate that they went to the utilities as expected. So I expect that many of you on this call will be hearing, if you filled out the survey, you'll be hearing, you know, Thursday, Friday, Monday from these regional distribution centers. And once again, I thank them very much for the work they're going to be undertaking to help get these masks into everybody's hands. One other, you know, a couple of other points. Last time we were together, we did get a question that actually it was a couple of weeks ago we got it, and we've been trying to follow up on it ever since. And I did get the answer yesterday. We got a particular question about whether or not water and wastewater utilities can receive information from public health authorities about if they are entering a dwelling about whether anybody in the house is known to the public health authorities as having had COVID. The idea being, you know, that people do have to enter the home, and sometimes it's difficult to, you know, find out from the residents themselves based on the circumstances whether or not that, you know, that is the case. We went and checked this question did go up to the command center, and the answer is that the public health authorities are not in the position to share that with water and wastewater utilities. Again, as I understand it, and I'm no expert on this area, as I understand it, that information is, you know, based on medical rules, it, you know, can be shared with first responders responding to an emergency, a medical emergency, but it is not shared beyond that. So I know there was interest in that. We tried to pursue it, but this was the answer we received. And I know other utilities that also are, you know, asked that same question and received similar answers. So I just wanted to report back on that. We will write that up in the latest form of our question and answer update for next week. We are working on a few updates, and we will make sure to add the question and answer on that. You know, just one or two other things. We are, you know, continuing to think about ways to pursue the Don't Flush the Wipes campaign educational materials. We are working, our public affairs office and our wastewater staff have been working on additional messaging that we can provide to various levels of government through various media to help get the word out. That was something that was asked about last week. And we are continuing to pursue that. So with that, I think that's all the issues that I was going to cover. I know we did get one question in advance about the QAQC, and I believe Denny Dart provided an answer by noting that there is, you know, EPA has extended the timeline from July to mid-September. So that was the only question that I think we got in advance of the call. So I'd be, you know, we'll turn it over now to see if anything has come in while we've been providing these updates, or you know, either through email or through the chat.
Commissioner, we had a few questions come in. Wendy Leo from the MWA asks, does the available guidance cover cleaning / disinfection / social distancing in locker rooms and showers? Which I'm sure we could probably post, maybe I could post the guidance in the chat.
I don't know if there's specific guidance up now, you know, based on what's already up on the COVID website, but I will, you know, I think we could take a quick look at that. And, you know, I don't know if you're able to do that right now, Kathy, but that would be the one that I think is, you know, published now. And, you know, if there's more to come, you know, when the reopening committee and others do their work between now and May 18th, we can certainly push that out to people as well.
Yeah, I'll look and see if I can find it during our meeting time. I didn't know if it was that specific that it covered things like showers. I didn't get the impression that it was to that level of detail yet, but I might be mistaken.
And if we don't get the answer by the end of the call, we'll keep looking afterwards, and we will talk to the, you know, again, we have a liaison to the command center and ask, you know, if there's anything out there that, you know, maybe we can push out through email.
Yep. Okay. Or we can put it on our Q&A. Another question that came up, let's see, that is, we had a water operator question the KN95 masks that we bought as being quote unquote fake and ineffective. We explained that the masks do fill the requirement of a face covering and are not meant to be medical grade. Can you address that in your FAQ section? List the actual requirements for a face covering as mandated by the state. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I'm sure a number of us have seen in the media, you know, the distinction between, you know, and the clarification of what is an N95, what is a KN95. Yeah, we can put something, you know, I appreciate the question. We'll put something in the Q&A about, you know, what we know about it. We'll work with our Office of Research and Standards on both, you know, if people are really interested in the effectiveness and also you know, address. I think we have stuff already in our Q&A about what we would recommend for protective gear in you know, wastewater facilities. I think that's already in there, but we will add the N95, KN95 piece to our next question and answer.
And it's also good to note that the cloth masks coming into the state from the federal government are just that. They're cloth masks made out of t-shirt material by Hanes. And so they wouldn't be K95, N95 mask. But they are definitely a great addition to the PPE inventory. We have another question about distribution of the masks from somebody on Martha's Vineyard. This person can't get to a distribution site on, there is no distribution site actually on the vineyard, and what should he do? We actually have somebody who's helping us distribute the masks from Barnstable to Oaf Island. So we should be okay with that. And I asked that person to send me an email so we make sure he's on the list.
That's right. Yeah, this came up in our planning call when we were working with distribution, and yeah, I think it was at Barnstable. I think it was Barnstable that said they would make, you know, they would help us make arrangements to get them to the islands.
That's right. They know somebody who goes over there regularly or works over there, and so that person is going to help us distribute them. I don't have any more questions in the chat, and let me just see in my email. I'm not seeing any in my email right now either, Commissioner.
If there's something that anybody wants to either raise as a comment or a question now, you wouldn't mind unmuting yourself, this would be a fine time to do that. Okay.
If you're on the phone and you want to unmute, it's *6.
Okay, well, if we don't have anybody with additional comments or questions, there is some follow-up that we will be doing. We will continue to, you know, make sure that the masks get, with our partners, that the masks get delivered now that we have a good amount of them. There's guidance about, you know, we'll look to see what the guidance for locker room and shower areas are. There's a request to put something in about the N95 versus the KN95 masks. We will continue to make sure that as the reopening discussion continues, again, we've highlighted the interest of the water and wastewater facilities, and we will continue to push out through our email contacts the guidance there. So we'll Mass DEP has a few homework assignments that we will follow up on, and we will be making sure that we've made progress on this by the next time we call, and probably sharing some stuff just via email even before that. So with that, thank you everybody for being on the call, and we'll be back in touch again next week.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.